Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
The Niners versus the Chiefs, a rematch of 2019. A lot of the same faces and a lot of important new ones. Dan Patrick is questioning, though, how compelling this Super Bowl is. From a media standpoint, just to pull the curtain back, some of you listening may have already heard, it is the most media members, right, that have credentialed requests that the Super Bowl has ever had. Some of that is just the landscape, podcasters, podcast networks, a lot of different people. But from that,
also Vegas.
Vegas, very, you know, more of a central, not a central place, but you're okay that it's not a central place.
Exactly.
Right?
It's going to be an event. So it's going to be a movie.
With all that being said, from the fan perspective, how compelling is this game? Obviously, a lot of us are watching with red and gold glasses on. But if you were to step away from it and just look at the different storylines and things like that, is it a good story? Is it compelling? Here is Dan Patrick. Is it compelling? Here is Dan Patrick talking about the Chiefs-Niners matchup.
11 days until the Super Bowl. It's interesting that it's going to be a great matchup, but it's a Super Bowl that I don't think anybody was hoping for. Outside of San Francisco and Kansas City, you know, we were looking for the Lions or the Buffalo Bills getting there. There were storylines with other teams that were more interesting. Kansas City, man, they got Mahomes. Never bet against Mahomes. Niners, yeah, we expected them to be here, number one seed in the NFC. But they've met before, and I think because of that, we're like, yeah, how many times do these two teams play each other? It doesn't have that angle yet. It might, but the game itself, I think, will be great. It'll probably be the matchup of the two best teams in the NFL. And that's what you want on Super Bowl Sunday. But I think leading up to it, you know, you like those storylines. You know, who's the underdog here? Is Kansas City, like, truly an underdog? It's hard for me to go, man, Mahomes, he's going to play up the underdog role here.
Yeah, I mean, both sides are trying to play up the underdog role. We have some notes to get into that as well. But I'm torn on this, right? Brock Purdy is an underdog based on his draft position and what was expected of him. But a lot of people don't view him the same way because he was drafted to one
Found
of
money,
the best.
As you say,
Yes. A wealthy family. He was drafted to one of the best rosters, a top three roster in the NFL.
Right.
Okay. So that's why that. And then you have, I got to go there, certain Niners fans just trying to shove it down everybody's throat. He's elite.
Right.
Okay. So you have that. The Mahomes thing, I understand more because I feel like there were times with Brady when some people, like you said, Chris, and I'll let you kind of speak to it, but just I want to see greatness, but other people kind of feel like, I mean, I'm just a little bit tired of it. Same thing with the Warriors and the Cavs, right? So I understand the Chiefs side of it. I don't understand being tired of the Niners because the Niners haven't been since 2019.
Right.
They didn't win.
Right.
They're always in the mix, but they haven't got it done.
Yep.
And they have a quarterback who, last time I checked, people do like the underdogs.
And so, they have the players that would excite you.
And
right?
you got Debo. Everybody loved Gronk, but, you know, Kittle's marketing isn't as good. I think Kittle is more, truly,
he's
based on
a
how.
A lot funnier, for sure.
Truly, like, based on how Gronk acts now on Fox, it feels like Kittle is a bit more authentic than Gronk. You know what I mean? So,
yes.
And I'm not to say, I know you got to play your role and things like that, but if anything, Kittle should be just as compelling as Gronk was.
Absolutely.
Kyle Shanahan is the missing link there, but maybe because Bill Belichick was just really boring and Kyle Shanahan is just a normal dude. He doesn't let his ankles show. He doesn't wear off-white Jordans. I don't know what it is, but I get the Chiefs part of it being over
and
we'll get into the Taylor Swift thing, why that annoys people.
Yeah.
I don't understand the Niners fatigue when the Niners haven't been to the Super Bowl and won it in a very long time.
Yeah, I
just to echo what you said there, I agree with the Chiefs thing. I understand. I don't agree with it, but I understand why people would be just like, hey, let's get a new face in there. Mm-hmm. Even if it's not like I hate Patrick Mahomes or I'm sick and tired of them. It's just let's see somebody else. I would have liked to see what Lamar would have done at this stage. Or, hey, can Josh Allen finally get people quiet? Or Miami, you know, Miami was a fun story. That's a fun offense. But from the NFC side, I just don't get it, because who else would people have wanted to see? I mean, the Eagles, we saw them last year, so you can't say, oh, it would have been great to see a rematch of last year's Super Bowl. I don't know why that would be more compelling than this. The Cowboys, I guess, just from the fan perspective, but I don't think the Cowboys, I don't know. I just don't feel like that storyline, it would have worked for ESPN, but I don't think that that's drawing as a team. I feel like the Cowboys wouldn't have a chance.
Yeah.
And so I would feel like, this is probably going to be a blowout of a Super Bowl. Maybe the lead up into it is more exciting because you get Stephen A. Smith showing up with his cowboy outfit or whatever. But I don't think the actual game would have been interesting. And that's weirdly what Dan said as well, though, is I think the game's going to be great. But the lead up into it, it's just... It seems like Dan's saying it's hard for people to get excited about it. But I just don't understand that, because at the end of the day, if the game is good, that's what the story's going to be, right?
Yeah.
That's the things that we should talk about, is how compelling, or how, hey, for every good thing the Niners do, here's a good thing that the Chiefs can do to rival it, and vice versa. I think that that's the story, and it's just people don't want to. I don't know how you can say there's nothing here. I think that there's something here. I don't know who else you would have wanted to see either.
Didn't we just...
Definitely not the Lions, that's for sure.
Didn't we just discuss how well the Niners fans traveled throughout the NFL? One of the best traveling fan bases, if not the best. I don't want to say the best, but definitely top five traveling fan bases in the league.
It's a lock.
That's a lock. So I don't know how that doesn't move the needle in terms of the Super Bowl, whether they all just disappear. Yeah. I saw a video of the Niners winning, and it was a bar in Mexico.
Right.
And they were going crazy down there. Right. So I don't get that. The Niners haven't won. They have this... Yeah. Quarterback that looks like he's a substitute teacher,
right?
This is what America is supposed to like.
Right.
If anything,
Christian McCaffrey is one of the most, two of the most dynamic players in football. Like,
if
the game is the story,
right? If anything, people should be excited as heck, because you truly have an opportunity to take down Mahomes.
Yeah.
That should be the play,
sure, right?
If the play isn't Kansas City, because a lot of people hated the Patriots.
Yeah.
Now we don't care because Mac Jones is there and he's terrible. But right now, the Kansas City Chiefs, they're the team. So I don't really understand it. And I don't understand why the Lions get to stink for this long and all of a sudden they're more compelling than the Niners.
Go walk into the Super Bowl? No.
They're America's team now? Yeah. I don't understand that.
I would just personally feel like they would have a lesser chance of winning the actual game. And so I would be less intrigued with the game itself. Like, I don't know. I've never been a fan of the pre-Super Bowl pageantry anyways.
Oh,
and maybe that's what
the
Dan Patricks and the ESPNs are really upset about. But I don't know. To me, I can't think of the last time I was this excited to just straight up see the Super Bowl game, in terms of I actually don't know which side is going to come out on top. Or I really think it's about as true of a 50-50 split. I think the odds now are the Niners favored by 2, but to me it feels like a pickup.
Yeah, I was really surprised. I mean, I get it, but at the same time, I don't, because it's a compelling game to me. Either Mahomes is going to say, yeah, I'm really in this thing, and this is a dynasty.
And even at my worst, you ain't going to be able to get me.
This would be his hardest ring yet, I think, right? He won. This would be now 2 without Tyreek?
Yeah, 2 without Tyreek.
Back-to-back. Rookie wide receiver, Travis Kelce on the starting the back, if I'm being nice, starting the back end of his career.
Yeah.
Okay, at one point you were throwing passes to Kadarius Toney.
Now he can't even get on the plane.
Right? You brought back Marquez Valdes-Scantling. He was gone. You brought him back. Okay? Yeah. They were down bad.
Yeah.
They were down
tremendous.
Bad. And they're back. So you have a a reemergence story, yeah, and you have an underdog story. Yeah. This is what American and
you have not only the reemergence, but like, yeah, you have this guy uplifting a, yes, team that has frankly no business being,
yeah,
here.
Yeah.
It's a bit like, you know, LeBron in the finals a couple times when Kyrie and Kevin Love got hurt, or mm-hmm, the first Cleveland stint where it's like, I don't think anybody else gets this team here, but they have this guy, and that guy not only got them here, but I kind of believe that that guy can also lead them to a title just because he's there.
How often can two teams claim underdog? How often?
That's what I'm saying. It's so easy.
Because the Chiefs can claim underdog because, yeah, of all their struggles and where they landed. And the Niners can claim underdog because, okay, yeah, y'all want to continue to say, and we got Cam Newton, don't worry, we're talking Cam Newton later. Y'all want to continue to say that Brock Purdy isn't the guy,
right,
okay? Well, he's going up against, sure, different rosters. He's going up against
the guy,
the boogeyman.
The guy.
Okay, the guy.
Yes, number
okay,
one.
Okay, so we're underdogs now because you said, sure, we don't have that guy.
Yeah.
All right, so they're, you can hop on both sides. You can, yeah, sit in the middle. You can do whatever you want. I don't understand how this game isn't compelling. The Chiefs have built a brand. I have friends that are football fans now because of the Chiefs. There's a whole new fan,
yes,
base because, totally, of Taylor Swift. And then you have the San Francisco 49ers, one of the strongest brands in the NFL.
Yep.
This isn't the NBA.
And Kyle Shanahan, big
and
big
Kyle
football
Shanahan,
family.
Andy Reid.
Yeah,
Andy
Reid. Right.
This is not.
Who was kind of the Kyle Shanahan before Kyle Shanahan.
Exactly. I got a piece coming out about, yeah, that. Be sure,
hey,
to read it when it comes out. This isn't a couple years ago. The,
yeah,
Phoenix Suns versus the Milwaukee Bucks.
No, it's not. No.
This is not that.
No.
And
if anything, honestly, it's kind of like not necessarily a there's not the Brady versus Mahomes of it, but in terms of I can't think who's going to win, it's a bit like the Bucks Chiefs for me.
Yeah. And it's not even Warriors Cavs because that happened 14 times.
Sure did, yeah.
This is only the second time.
And yeah, hasn't
it,
happened in a
it was
while,
against
too.
A dude who tried to play in that stadium and Jimmy Garoppolo and is out of a job.
Right.
Okay.
It's a true redemption. It's like a full story arc.
If you rewatch 2019, Jimmy was probably in line to win Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah.
And now he's,
yeah,
out of a job.
Right.
Because,
yeah,
of one overthrow.
Yeah.
This is incredible.
And you got Brock, to your point, if you want to complete the story, you got Brock who's got an opportunity to literally just continue to do everything that Jimmy couldn't.
Yeah.
And this would be the cherry on top of, like, I am literally everything that you guys, being everybody, hope that this guy would have been. Is the guy that could have led you to,
yes,
a Super Bowl. A guy who could have been just a, regardless if you want to say, whatever, uplifting game manager, game, mm-hmm, changer, a system, a guy who's in this system and excels in the system and plays at an MVP level. That's the guy you thought Jimmy was. You found out he wasn't, but I can be that.
Yeah, I saw something that said Brock Purdy was the first rookie to beat Tom Brady. And
wow.
Tom Brady.
That's crazy.
Tom Brady is the only quarterback to beat Patrick Mahomes.
That's more Belichick.
In the Super Bowl.
Right, yeah.
So now Brock.
Right. Has a chance to.
Has a chance. Oof,
to double goat it.
To double goat it. And beat Patrick Mahomes in a Super Bowl.
Wow.
I hate to interrupt there, but the whole Belichick would like beat rookie quarterbacks is like a serious thing. He would crush them.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Tom was in Tampa, though.
I know. So that's why he beat him is the argument.
Nate, I don't know. We got to get to a break. When we get back, continuing the conversation, some crazy numbers coming out of Vegas in terms of advertising. And
nice.
We will also discuss whether or not the Niners are underdogs. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
Are the Niners underdogs? That is the question. We will break that down from the 916. Niners are in the Super Bowl because of their fans. In part. In part. Okay. In part. But
players too.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, here you go.
The comeback. Definitely in the comeback. Sometimes, in the comeback, for sure.
Sometimes the text comes in broken up. Okay. The reason people don't want to see or don't care as much that the Niners are in the Super Bowl is because of their fans.
There we go.
From the 916.
There we go. Great text. There you go. That makes a lot of sense.
Give Niner fans a lot of grief because a lot of you are insufferable. No, they are. And I've nicknamed a new term. You want to hear it?
Yes, please.
I am so sick of this receipt culture.
Yes.
Receipt culture.
Sure. It's terrible.
Honestly,
I should have been left in 23.
I just want the Niners to win so that hopefully this receipt culture can end. Right? And we have the sound. Cam Newton's not doing himself any favors.
It sure isn't.
But, you know, there are certain Niner fans out there that say they don't care about what people say about Brock Purdy.
Right.
It doesn't seem to be a lot of it feels like a lot of Niner fans do care, and I don't know if it's just a content creator thing. Hey, it's just content.
Yeah.
Do you care? Do you not? I know everybody wants to believe they have a guy.
Yeah.
I get all that, but it is a little bit much now.
It sure is. Let me tell you, as someone who has Kirk Cousins on his team, just let it go. Just let it go.
Arguing
just,
about
yes, just arguing about
where
it.
Where somebody falls.
Exercise.
Yes,
it's and a completely pointless.
And
exercise.
I put a poll
you're
out.
You're never gonna find a consensus answer.
Here you go. I put a poll out actually yesterday on my socials, and the poll. Let me pull it up right here. The poll was: will Niner fans stop caring about what people say about Brock Purdy if he wins the Super Bowl? Will Niner fans stop caring about what right. people say as far as Brock Purdy if he wins the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
What do you think won?
Probably, I'll say yes. I think people like to believe that will silence everybody. So I'm going to say yes. A lot of people have said yes.
48.5% said yes.
Wow.
51.5% said okay. No.
I mean, that's fair. I think that I would say yes because, you know, what it's one of those things where it's like, you know, if you're a celebrity, everyone always says, oh, people are always scrutinizing my life, but I know who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all that really matters is I know who I am and what I stand for. And you can say I'm a terrible person and I did all these terrible things, but
I know my truth.
Exactly. And yeah. I know I would dedicate my life to charity, whatever it is. Why can't they just take that attitude with Brock Purdy where it's like, you know what? If he wins the Super Bowl, whatever. Y'all can say whatever you want. All I know is the guy that we're talking about right now led my favorite team to a Super Bowl. And that's all that matters. That's what we play the game for, right? Is to have a team that's capable of winning. Mm-hmm. And I just saw that he can. It's not impossible to have Brock Purdy as your quarterback and lead him to a Super Bowl. And I know it, and that's all that really matters is that I know it, and fellow Niner fans like my buddy Nate know it.
Yeah.
And that should be good enough, but that's just not how this world works.
By the way, 1 p.m., Live Nation has teamed up with Sactown Sports to hook you up with tickets to check out comedy legend Eddie Griffin live at Hard Rock Sacramento. April 13th, hit up the Folsom Lake Honda hotline at 1 p.m., we will tell you what caller at 1 p.m. for your pair of tickets to see Eddie Griffin. Yeah, I think that's a great point, Chris. And maybe it will go away. Maybe
I doubt it.
Maybe it won't. And even
might
if,
even intensify at that point.
I was gonna say it might actually intensify.
Right.
And you know, I've likened it to, I know it's Sacramento, but I have likened it to a similar situation. All right, hang with me here.
Okay.
I mean, it's very similar to Draymond Green. Okay. How many times have we heard Draymond Green, if he was on the Pistons, how much better would they be?
Yes,
if he was on the Rockets.
How good would Draymond
be? How good would Draymond be? All these things. He's got the two Splash Brothers. He played with Kevin Durant. All of those things are true. Honestly, we'll never know. We'll never know.
Right.
He never
at
left the
point,
Warriors,
yeah.
right?
Great
and
point, right.
We'll never know. But Draymond Green is going to be a Hall of Famer, much to a lot of people's chagrin.
Yeah.
Is some of it due to
situation,
the fact that he played
right.
with the Splash Brothers?
Absolutely.
Yes.
100%.
Could you argue that Steph benefited from Draymond and that team benefited from Draymond? I would also say yes.
100%.
I think it's similar.
Yep.
You know, maybe it's not
it's a great comparison.
Perfect, but I do think
no,
it's similar.
I think it's perfect. I think it's great because, yeah, it ends up becoming a pointless exercise where it doesn't matter because Draymond – he did have those circumstances, and, you know, much like we talked about with Brock Purdy, you just laid it out perfectly. yeah, for sure, Draymond gets the benefit of playing with Steph Curry, and playing with Steph definitely masks some of his inefficiencies and you know, what he's not good at, but he also helps Steph a whole lot. Like, he's the primary playmaker. He sets great screens. Him and Steph have a connection that Steph will say he doesn't have with anybody else. And you could use those same exact things with Brock Purdy, where, yeah, absolutely, Debo and McCaffrey and Trent Williams, all those guys, they definitely help him out. But, you know, he's also putting him in some pretty good situations. And as we've seen with Jimmy, he's actually putting the ball in their hands. He's not overthrowing Christian McCaffrey on the, you know, that throw where McCaffrey was falling and then he caught it, fell, got up, and scored.
Yeah.
How many times is that ball going over just straight up into the sidelines?
Yeah.
If Jimmy's doing that. And that's the part where it's like you can't say Brock is average and he makes the whatever. Oh, he's hit even on that throw. Oh, but McCaffrey's wide open. Mm-hmm. Well, still had to find him. And I'm telling you right now, I've seen people miss a wide open throw. So you got to give him credit just because it's easy or just because, you know, it doesn't look like he's, you know, doing the most or he didn't make it look incredibly difficult. He still did it. And that's the important thing at the end of the day is he's capable of making the plays when you need it. And then so
I know Nate remembers his play. Nate, I don't know who this was against, but I know it was a big game. And it was the Jimmy Garoppolo era, and there was a Kyle Juszczyk play where he was schemed wide open, Kyle Juszczyk was, and Jimmy just completely missed him. And I got flashbacks of that when Brock scrambled and hit Juszczyk for 20 yards or whatever that was.
Toe drag swagged.
Not that one. The other one, actually.
He does it quite a bit, honestly. Yeah. Juszczyk, everyone says Kittle's the safety valve. I think Juszczyk is because he's not used every game. Like, safety valve, break in case of emergency, right?
Yeah.
Kittle's just a top target.
By the way, when we're in Vegas next week, when we do prop talk.
We're getting Christian or Kristen.
I think to that point, Juszczyk, whatever his yards are.
Yeah.
You know he scored. I think
he scored in the Super Bowl.
I want to say he had the first touchdown in that first Super Bowl against the Chiefs.
There you go. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, we discuss Kyle Shanahan's legacy, whether he gets it done or whether he doesn't. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
Kyle Shanahan has another opportunity to join that illustrious group and say that he is a Super Bowl winning coach. We all know he's been as an assistant coach. He's been as a head coach, but he hasn't gotten it done. And he's facing someone that it's almost like looking in a mirror. And I've heard Niner fans say that they pray that Kyle Shanahan does not end up being their franchise's Andy Reid. Wow. Right? Andy Reid went to 5 NFC championships,
right?
One Super Bowl appearance, did not win one.
Sure didn't.
Leaves, gets the future GOAT quarterback, and now it's basically the Kansas City Invitational.
It sure is. Yeah.
So, Kyle Shanahan, when you look at everything he's done for this Niners organization,
let's
not forget, September, Jed York extends John Lynch and extends Kyle Shanahan when neither of their contracts were up.
Right.
They just extended. He just extended it because he feels good about it.
He was in a
because he felt really good about Kyle Shanahan and about what this team has done, and being a contender every season is really good for business. There are teams that can win a Super Bowl, fall off a cliff, right? They make deep playoff runs when healthy every single season. But Kyle Shanahan, with everything that you got, I don't care what people say about Brock Purdy. He's playing at an MVP level right now. We don't know if that's who he is, but that's
how
he's playing right now. That's all that matters. Mm-hmm. Your roster, they're missing Hufanga, but they've been missing Hufanga. Your roster is about as healthy as a Super Bowl roster can be. The Chiefs just lost another guy, right? You really haven't lost too many guys throughout the course of the season. You got the quarterback, you got the roster, you got the momentum.
Yep.
The Chiefs are the weakest that they've been. If not now, then when?
There is no when at that point. I mean, this is it. Not that they won't be back, but just like you're never going to be as confident as you are this year because of everything you laid out. The health. I mean, usually health is the hardest part, is getting to finally getting to the Super Bowl, and then by then a lot of teams are pretty much like what the Niners dealt with Debo last week.
You avoided the Debo thing.
That's usually what teams deal with in the Super Bowl, where it's like, you know, you speak of Andy Reid in that Super Bowl he went to, if I'm not mistaken, T.O. had like a, didn't he have a broken ankle? He had something crazy where he played through that, and you know, that's a lot of the times how the Super Bowl goes, is you're not healthy. Mm-hmm. You're going to play because it's the last game of the season, and whatever you got, you're going to give. And that's not the case with the Niners. And then that's just talking about them. Like we've mentioned countless times, on the other side, the Chiefs, yeah, they're here, but this is not the same Chiefs that you played last time you were in the Super Bowl. This is not the same Chiefs as last year when they were in the Super Bowl. This is by far, offensively at least, which is where, you know, their bread is buttered. This is about as little danger as they have presented in the Mahomes era. And you got to take advantage of that. The same way we were talking about how Lamar had to take advantage of the opportunity in front of him. That applies tenfold for the Niners, where the Eagles had a down year and were eliminated in the first round. Cowboys had an up and down year, eliminated. They didn't even have to deal with the who was perceived as the biggest the biggest opponents in their path. And yeah, the Lions presented a good challenge for them.
They were missing guys on their line.
Absolutely. Yeah, they weren't 100% healthy. So it's all been laid out for the Niners. It's hard enough to even get here, but you're in this position and you're healthy and you're the better team. You are. You're the better team. You got to take care of business. And if you're not going to get it done this year, I'm sorry. You can't tell me next year. The Niners can go 15-1 in the regular, or whatever, 16-1 in the regular season next year. Every trump card is going to be, you guys were good last year too, and you didn't get it done.
Until you
get it done,
right,
nobody's going to believe you after this.
Yeah, and the one team that everybody is worried about, or was worried about from the Niners side of things, the Ravens, they couldn't get it done. They didn't hold up their end of the bargain, and they're done.
Yep.
Okay, so that was the one team you thought, all right, well, we've seen this, and it didn't look great.
Yeah.
You didn't get to face. You played the Chiefs last season, but that was still Jimmy G. You had just got Christian McCaffrey arrived on a plane and went straight to the game, it felt like, and they just threw him in
That's
there.
That's right. I forgot about that.
You know, that was a bad loss,
that was before. Right.
The Brock Purdy era.
That's what we're in. That was Jimmy G, right?
Yes, that is before the Brock Purdy era. So it's got to happen now. This guy has seen his dad win. He's seen his daddy win.
Right.
He's seen his peers win. He's seen dudes win that he's probably feeling like,
I mean,
I'm better
also,
than.
Yeah, he's also lost in front of his face. Like, he's had to watch the game slip away from him in the worst way. Like, he's been through it all.
Yeah.
There's nothing else, hopefully nothing else, that Kyle Shanahan needs to experience when it comes to that game, to where he should be prepped as well. Because as much as this is about the Niners as a whole and Brock Purdy and the story arc being complete, a lot of this narrative that's going to come out of the Super Bowl is going to be about Kyle Shanahan. Mm-hmm. Whether they win or lose, I think Kyle Shanahan is probably going to be one of the first things people talk about when it comes to the result of this Super Bowl. Because it's either going to be, okay, here's this guy, this prodigal son who drew up this revolutionary offense and has had great success, finally gets a Super Bowl. How many more is he going to get? Or it's going to be much the Andy Reid story of, hey, this guy draws up some great plays, but you know, when it comes to the big dance, he might overthink himself, and you know, he just can't get it done. And you know, I definitely think that, you know, Kyle probably understands that as well. He probably understands just as well as anybody yeah. that this is a lot on his shoulders here.
The NFC was down all season. Okay, we discussed the quarterbacks that were left in the NFC playoffs. You have Brock Purdy, Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff, Jordan Love, and it's not going to get much cleaner than that. Yeah. And you're dealing with a Chiefs team that has been down all season. Mahomes has taken 3 Advils probably after every game from carrying them. His back probably hurts. And if you look at the landscape of how they did get there, and nope, not to take anything away from anybody, a Packers team, one of the youngest teams in the history of the NFL playoffs, an upstart Lions team, it is just laid out for you, yeah. and it's just not going to be laid out any better.
In a
it's
weird
not.
Way, too, to inverse that, look at the Chiefs. Look at the path the Chiefs took to get here.
Yeah.
They answered every question. They took down really all the top competitors. They took down the Dolphins, mm-hmm. then they took down the Bills,
yeah.
and then they took down the Ravens. So, as we say, this is the most down Chiefs team we've ever seen.
That's
and
true.
They're down bad, and they don't have the receiving talent. It hasn't mattered. They've beaten all of the best teams in their conference. Every single question. I mean, it'd be like the equivalent of the Niners having to go through the Cowboys and then the Eagles to get here. I think it would have been, and that's not even including, yeah, they had to play a wild card week on top of that. So as much as we say the Chiefs are down and they're not the team they were last year, their play has not shown that.
Well, they're definitely going to be confident because of that. But, yeah, look, the Eagles were leaking oil all season
Absolutely.
Long.
Yeah.
The Cowboys, I truly thought it was going to be the Cowboys. You had to convince to at least give them a challenge.
Sure.
The Cowboys tricked that off. People had to convince themselves that the Rams, this is how exactly. good the Niners have been.
Right.
We tried to convince ourselves that the Rams
were their biggest competition.
The biggest competition, and the Rams didn't even win the first game.
Yeah.
Okay, we convinced ourselves that the Rams were the dark horse to do battle with the Niners, and they couldn't even get out of the wild card. 916-339-1140, all guests and callers join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Let's get out to Steven, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Steven? You're on Sals and Watkins. What is it?
Not much, man. Good morning, boys. I'll try to be nice today, too. I'm not trying to throw Nate under the bus because Nate's always really nice to me, along with you guys. You guys are always good to be
mm-hmm.
So if the Carolina Panthers had the Carolina Panthers, to throw an example, were to have drafted Brock Purdy as the Mr. Irrelevant, and then would we still be having this conversation with Brock Purdy about how bad the scouts of the NFL just fumbled that bag? Like, would this still be the same narrative? Or is this the narrative that's being driven as far as all this Brock Purdy? I wouldn't necessarily say hate, but I'm going to say hate. Because he came into such a prime situation with Kyle Shanahan. And, like, he got gifted a really good life, you know what I'm saying, as far as football life. He wouldn't have that same luck, I'm assuming, but he wouldn't necessarily have that same kind of luck in Carolina, for example. But if he started to have a breakout year with whoever the receivers are over there, and he started to, start slinging that ball, would this narrative still be the same as it is?
Well, no, of course not, but he wouldn't be in the MVP conversation
definitely
or
not
anywhere
be in the Super Bowl,
close if he was on the Panthers.
Right. Yeah. And I think it's almost an impossible thing to try and figure out because, again, much like you say about the Draymond thing, like we just don't know what it would look like. I think he would still be making really good plays. I think the question is, would he have even gotten an opportunity? Because it was a pretty random opportunity that he got with
the
Niners.
Or would he look better than Bryce Young? That's a good question.
Yeah. I don't know. I think so.
I think so too.
But the question is, where would we put him? Like, would we say this is like, and this might sound disrespectful to Brock, but I mean it as more so would we say he's Gardner Minshew? Where it's like, Gardner Minshew's really good. Like, when he's in, the Colts were close to making the playoffs.
Right.
He's a good quarterback, but, he's
right.
fine. It's so tough. It's like an impossible thing. And, like, Gardner Minshew's a good story, and he's a late round pick who became a guy who's a capable starter.
Yeah.
And that's probably how we would talk about him if he were on a 500 team or somewhere around that, maybe even below 500. And we'd probably say he's a good quarterback.
He's got potential.
He's a good quarterback. He's got potential. Clearly shouldn't have been picked in the seventh round.
Right.
But I don't think anyone would say, oh, yeah, just put him on, a good team and he would be on the Super Bowl. I don't think people would have guessed that for him. But
yeah,
it's one of those things where
we'll never know.
Maybe not never. But
yeah, we'll never know. And look, if the Niners move on from Brandon Ayuk and we see what Ronnie Bell has, and maybe Brandon Ayuk really emerges as a guy, and now you have Kittle. Look, some of these things are going to happen organically. Whether
Just wait for Cam Lotu to get out there.
Yeah. Whether they win or not.
We're really going to see how good Brock is.
Because George Kittle is going to retire eventually during Brock's tenure. Yeah. Do you find another tight end that's as good as him? Probably not, but maybe. Debo probably will be with him for a longer period of time, but, you know, Debo's dealt with injury. So these questions are going to get answered one way or the other. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back to some basketball talk as we discuss something David Aldridge had to say as far as the Wizards and Kyle Kuzma as it pertains to the Kings. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
David Aldridge talks about Kyle Kuzma and why teams should want him, Chris. I know you checked out his article.
Yes. It's a very in-depth article, not just on Kyle Kuzma, but on, you know what, actually, this is pretty much exactly what we did. I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago. I told you, I was like, it's crazy that the Wizards have such a garbage record, but I look at their roster and I'm like, I would like him. I wouldn't mind him. Mm-hmm. Okay, the Kings could use him. And David Aldridge pretty much did the same exact thing where there's this Athletic article where he pretty much goes player by player and says why the Wizards would trade him, why teams would want him, and what the deal could look like. So if you ever are interested in some other guys, he's got Denny Advia on here. He's got Tyus Jones on here. He's got Daniel Gafford on here. So if there's anybody else on the Wizards that piques your interest, Corey Kispert, definitely go check out the article. We're just going to focus on Kyle Kuzma because that's where the Kings were mentioned specifically, and definitely specifically when it comes to what the deal could look like, which kind of tells me that maybe David Aldridge might be hearing some things because it's two names that we have not really discussed heavily when it comes to especially the Kuzma trade. So first off, Kyle Kuzma, forward, age 28, potential fits. He lists Dallas Mavericks and Sacramento Kings. I think the Mavericks are definitely a team to look out for when it comes to a team that could possibly be looking to outbid the Kings. Aldridge writes why the Wizards would trade Kyle Kuzma. He says Kuzma is Washington's best and most consistent offensive player this season, averages 21 and 4 assists per game. Defensive rebounding rate is down a little bit from last year, and his three-point shooting is also stagnated. But teams look at how Kuzma was a key contributor to the Lakers' championship run in the 2020 bubble, and if Washington were to trade him, it would get much more for him now with 3 years left on his deal than next season or in 2026. Now, why teams would want Kuzma is because of his contract. Very favorable, signed a four-year, $90 million contract this offseason that starts this season. He's getting paid $25.6 million and will go all the way down to $19.4 million in the 26-27 season, making his contract a really desirable one because you're kind of paying Kyle Kuzma, you know, by the time he's 32, he'll be making what Harrison Barnes is pretty much making this year. Obviously, Kuzma's not a number one or two option as he is with the Wizards. Ideally, he's your third as he was last season behind Beal and Porzingis. And he is, however, Aldridge does write this, and this is very important, especially pertaining to the Kings. He says, at this point of his career, he, being Kyle Kuzma, is not interested in returning to the role he had in L.A. as a spot-up shooter in the corner, waiting for passes from LeBron James and or Anthony Davis. But he's talented and long and is still just 28. Now, hold, this is the last part here, what the deal could look like. And again, this is where things get very specific when it comes to the Kings front. Mm-hmm. League sources maintain Washington has been holding out for two first-round picks for Kuzma, though a team source did indicate that is somewhat overblown. The truth is probably somewhere in the middle. He then goes on to say how the Kings have had interest in Kuzma from the past with the Buddy Hield trade that was and then wasn't, and then having some real interest in him in the offseason. Now, when it comes to a trade and what it could look like, he says there's a relatively clean trade for these teams to make. The Kings could send guard Kevin Huerter back to the DMV, where he started Maryland in college at 25. Huerter's a good contract. He's 6'7", which is good size for the Washington to have in their backcourt. As a career 38% shooter from beyond the arc, Huerter could help and be on every team scouting report. The other name is one that I don't like. Adding veteran Trey Lyles to the deal would make it work financially, and the Wizards could potentially certainly flip Huerter and or Lyles for more draft capital if needed. And the Dallas package, he pretty much says, is either Maxi Kleber or Rashawn Holmes, which is essentially just contract, and then Olivier Maxence Prosper. Funny enough, obviously Rashawn Holmes, former King, Olivier Maxence Prosper is the guy that the Kings traded on draft night. So if the Mavericks were to make the deal essentially with two Kings pieces, that would hurt. That would hurt a little bit.
Call it in.
Call it in.
Call it in.
Kevin Huerter and Trey Lyles.
I'm sorry. It's got to be done.
Yeah. I think that that's enough, or I guess that's enough to make me want to do it. Yeah. As in, that's, you're not giving up a crazy amount. You could you could replace Kevin Huerter, and I would not like it, but Trey Lyles is expendable, but it then really, the Sasha thing's got to work out at that point, because Sasha would just directly be taking Trey's minutes or Trey's role at that point. And, you know, I know a lot of people are clamoring for Sasha, but it's got to work out at that point. He's got to be productive just about every night.
You have to do it.
I think so.
I'd even push back on the Sasha thing to say maybe get through this season. Sure.
Mm-hmm.
You can find
Trey
Lyles' production somewhere
over
the summer.
Yeah.
Now, this season, I don't know.
Yeah.
But over the summer, you're doing, and that's why I think, like we said, a lot of times these deals don't end up.
The curious thing would be, so if they do move on from Huerter, that's obviously an open spot in the starting lineup. You assume Kuzma's going to be in the starting lineup. Does this move Keegan to the two? Does this move HB to the bench and Malik into the starting lineup? Does this then create the Chris Duarte back in the starting lineup?
Let's go. That's the only time he plays. He's got to start. He's got to play. Is that in his contract somewhere?
I think so. Yeah, it's got to be.
Play if I start.
It has to be.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. So
if I'm not getting the headlines, then I don't want to play.
It's
interesting. It creates a little bit
I'd move Keegan to the two.
Decision. That's what I would do.
He's going to get – there are going to be guys quicker than him on some nights, but the league is getting progressively bigger anyway and longer anyway. So a lot of those twos are around Keegan's size anyway.
Yeah, I don't hate it with how they've asked him to guard this year anyway. And plus then, there will be no Kings struggle with length accusation. I mean, there will be no reasons for it because at that point you'll have 6'4 De'Aaron Fox. Let's say Keegan's the two at 6'8". You got 6'8 Harrison Barnes. You got Kyle Kuzma's like 6'10, 6'11. And then you got Sabonis there as well, who's 6'11. So, you know, you're kind of running like the Orlando Magic at that point.
So what about the Trey Bays? What would you do then?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it would obviously be a tough loss for us. Yeah. I'm not going to become a Washington Wizards watcher, that's for sure.
No.
It'd be a sad day for us for sure. We're not going to join the pool party, though. That's for sure. That would not be ideal. But the question would still be for Washington, like, does Huerter make sense for them? Because they did just draft Bilal Coulibaly. They got Corey Kispert. I think they have a couple other guards. I mean, Johnny Davis is pretty much over at this point. But I think they have a couple other guards who might get in the way. But I think Aldridge also says there, we haven't seen it here in Sacramento, but theoretically with Kevin Huerter being 6'7", wouldn't be the craziest thing to put him at small forward. Especially for a Wizards team that does not have championship aspirations. I guess it's like, you got a lot of problems. Kevin Huerter at the three, not being able to defend, probably isn't your biggest.
I think that, if you're the Wizards, and they're going to do something with Tyus Jones, too.
Can
we get Tyus Jones, too?
Yeah, I'm not going to do the whole Tyus Jones thing. But let me see what it says Tyus Jones's value is. You can ramble on if you'd like, just to fill.
Is there any way we package both? I'd be into that. If
I would
possible.
Love that.
Joe has a great question in the chat. Mm-hmm. I know it's more Chris centric, but would it trading Trey Lyles be like trading Amon Shumpert when that happened? Because he was like the heart and soul. Alan, I don't know how much you know about this.
I wouldn't say...
he knows, yeah.
I wouldn't say Trey is that important to the... Like, Amon definitely was the spiritual leader of that team. I don't think Trey is in that way the spiritual leader. Trey is, again, I think I said this the other day, I would say Trey is probably the closest relationship to De'Aaron Fox, which... You know, whatever. I don't think that they're, you know, inseparable, but, you know, that would be removing one of, you know, De'Aaron. You know, if Thanasis and Alex and Kostas can all be on the Bucks, like, you know, maybe De'Aaron might have something to say about, hey, like, maybe can we look to, you know, Sasha makes the same money. Maybe can we, I don't know. I'm not saying, I'm just saying that maybe that's that might be a holdup.
You got to want to win.
I wouldn't say that it's the same as Iman Shumpert.
Yeah, I also don't think De'Aaron has the same pull as Giannis.
Yes.
To be fair. Yeah. I don't think most people do. Dwayne Baker. Dwayne Baker says
Rain
the bench,
Fox, man. He's gonna get a Rain contract Fox, pretty soon.
On the Sack Chat, shout out to the Sack Chat. Dwayne Baker says the bench needs to get stronger, in my opinion.
Sure does.
More so than the starting lineup. We react to that. We also discuss De'Aaron Fox and his 3-point shooting. Is he doing it too much? When we get back, Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.